Good morning from your friends at Zion Lutheran Church in beautiful Silver Hill, Alabama, and welcome to our Sunday morning worship encouragement, God's Loving Kindness in the Morning. Let's begin with Martin Luther's morning prayer. I thank you, my Heavenly Father, through Jesus Christ, your dear Son, that you have kept me through the night from all harm and danger. I pray that you would keep me this day from all sin and evil, that in all my thoughts and words and deeds I may serve and please you. Into your hands I commend my body and soul and all that is mine. Let your holy angels be with me, that the evil one may have no power over me. This I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. The Lord is in his holy temple. His throne is in heaven. The Lord is near to all who are of a humble and a contrite spirit. He hears the requests of the penitent and listens to their prayers. Let us therefore draw near with boldness to his throne of grace and confess our sins. Be gracious to me, O God, according to thy loving kindness. According to the greatness of thy compassion, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I know my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. Against thee, thee only, I have sinned, and done what is evil in thy sight, so that thou art justified when thou dost speak, and blameless when thou dost judge. Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin my mother conceived me. Behold, thou dost desire truth in the innermost being, and in the hidden part thou wilt make me know wisdom. Purify me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness. Let the bones which thou hast broken rejoice. Hide thy face from my sins, and blot out all my iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. Lutherans subscribe to the great confessions of faith of the early church. God has not changed, and our faith remains firm in the teachings of the Bible. That's why we often share what is called the Apostles' Creed in our weekly worship. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated on the right hand of God the Father Almighty, from where he shall come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Well, let's pray together as we ready our hearts for today's Bible reading. Gracious Lord Jesus, thank you for coming to the earth and sharing your good news of salvation for mankind. Open your holy word to us this morning. Along with our Heavenly Father and your Holy Spirit, minister to our hearts and nurture us in your word. Amen. It was the early 1960s. I was working on the experiment farm in the Northeast Experiment Station in Minnesota. We get into Norm's truck, and he drives us over to where one of the orchards was. It wasn't all one kind of fruit in that orchard, but I remember picking cherries. This was probably August, but it might have been a little earlier. The cherries were beautiful, large, and red. Boy, you'd like to get your paw on those cherries. Our crew was small, and each of us tried one of those cherries. What a surprise! Pits the size of hubcaps. I'm surprised the cherry skins could even hold on to them. There was hardly any pulp. On top of that, they were so sour, I think they had concentrated lemon juice in them. But they looked nice. We told Norm the foreman about them, but he said just to put them in the baskets, they would sell well. That's a harvest story, but you really wonder about whoever planted those cherry trees and what kind of hybrid that must have been. Maybe you have noticed that you don't really notice what you have until harvest time. And that gets us to today's lesson. Jesus talks about harvest and reaping in today's parable. The harvest is special because the harvest is people. The text is from Mark 4, verses 26 through 29. And Jesus said, The kingdom of God is as if a man should scatter seed on the ground, and should sleep by night and rise by day, and the seed should sprout and grow. He himself does not know how. For the earth yields crops by itself, first the blade, then the head, after that the full grain in the head. But when the grain ripens, immediately he puts in the sickle, because the harvest has come. Well, harvest is a special time. The central question in this lesson is this: when does the kingdom come? The answer, the big idea? Jesus' kingdom comes at the harvest. So here's the scenario. People get planted. This lesson is about the kingdom of God and the planting in that kingdom. This is really a teaching about how God works in human affairs. The one doing the planting is a typical farmer, not a specific person. So there is this planting. The planter goes out and lays the seed where it can go. The ground has to be ready, the seed has to be selected, the weather has to be right, the seed has to get into the ground. You can't harvest then. You can't hurry up the seed. You have to let that seed be. Here's the point. Jesus tells a simple story here, a story that the multitudes would have seen and known about. They would have seen farmers working the fields, and some of them, so no doubt, were farmers listening to Jesus. Jesus lays it out. Life is like getting planted in a garden. The difference? It is God's garden. But as in all gardens, the season ends. Things have happened to the seed, to the people planted in God's garden. Good seed produces fruit. People, too, should grow to fruitfulness. Think about farmers as they wait for seed to become fruitful. Life goes on. A farmer doesn't stop sleeping and getting up and sleeping and getting up just because there is a crop in the ground. The seed will grow whether the farmer is in bed or not. You can't stop those pecans from growing because someone doesn't get a good night's sleep. You can't change the frost in strawberries this winter. There is nothing a farmer can do but wait. Life happens with the seed, and you don't have to know why, because it happens regardless of what you know. We look at nature and we try to understand. The best we can do is name a process, but we don't make processes. We can talk about splicing DNA or altering DNA, but the DNA is there. We're not changing anything. Some folks will tell you that the soil is the crucial thing. But dirt doesn't create anything either. But it doesn't nurture. Life in the presence of the right environment is what nurtures and produces. Life sprouts. Life blossoms. Life fruits. No seed, no fruit, no soil, no fruit. But when you put these things together, there is fruit. Here's the point. It's one thing to get planted, but recognize how special we are as God's planting. We humans kill God's planting. One unborn baby every 20 seconds. That's 31.5 million babies a year. But what about us? Shouldn't that mean more dirt for the rest of us in the crop? Jesus talks about growing people to fruitfulness. And are we just interested in the dirt? Jesus is not looking at dirt here. He's looking at people. Why? Because people get harvested. We know about harvest. You need to get the crop in when it's ready. If you wait too long, it's not a good crop. If you get it in too soon, it's not a good crop. You end up blowing your protein content and using it for poor fodder, or even spreading it back on the field and plowing it under. A good crop is harvested at the right time. You have to get the crop in during its window of opportunity. Not too early, not too late. Not too wet, not too dry, ground not too soft, long enough after any herbicides. Timing is critical. You have to get the crop in during the window of opportunity. Jesus uses the word immediately. Jesus is saying ASAP. That's when God's kingdom comes, when things are ripe, and the harvest of the kingdom must come at precisely the right time. Do you get the sense that we get so caught up in life that we forget that the end will come? God doesn't forget. Why do we remember the good times but forget that we are in the process of growing in the Lord? How come it is so easy to forget God's faithfulness and the nurture and the gifts that He has given us to be fruitful? Here's the point. We are finite. God's kingdom comes, but it is with Jesus coming. He is coming as a harvester. Jesus comes to harvest fruit, fruitful people. Many times people will be asked if they are ready for the coming of Christ and the final day, Judgment Day. Jesus Christ tells us in today's lesson that it is not a matter of our readiness, but of God's. Listen to this short parable one more time. The kingdom of God is as if a man should scatter seed on the ground, and should sleep by night and rise by day, and the seed should sprout and grow. He himself does not know how. For the earth yields crops by itself, first the blade, then the head, after that the full grain in the head. But when the grain ripens, immediately he puts in the sickle because the harvest has come. This is a lesson about fruitfulness and bearing fruit. How does God want us to be fruitful in His kingdom? Do we get any clues from where we have been planted? The Holy Spirit is our comforter, but how should we look to Him for guidance in growing our Christian life? How is your Christian growth coming, and how close is the Lord to reaping your fruitfulness? As we end our time together, let us join in the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. Receive the Lord's benediction. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you His peace. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, please join us for worship this morning at 10 a.m. if you can. Zion Lutheran Church is a liturgical traditional Lutheran church located in Silver Hill on the corner of 4th Avenue and 7th Street. We are one block south of State Highway 104 and two blocks west of Highway 55. If you find the Silver Hill Library landmark, you are just a block away. Look for our signs. Want more information about our Lutheran Fellowship? Come to our website, www.lutheransinsilverhill.com, or give us a call at 945-5209. May God bless you in your spiritual walk this week, and don't forget to catch God's loving kindness in the morning next Sunday, same time and same place on your radio dial. Have you got a child going into the first to sixth grades? We will have a day camp Bible school running from 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. in the afternoon the week of June 14 through 19. Give us a call at 945-1076 for information. We are limited to only 50 children, so first registered, first enrolled. God bless you. Have you got a Bible? No? Give us a call at 945-1076 for a complimentary paperback New King James Version Bible. Have you had the opportunity to bless a child in India or in Baldwin County? Zion Lutheran Church understands that the Holy Spirit brings people together within the body of Christ to accomplish His will. We have two mission projects that perhaps the Holy Spirit might plant on your heart. The first project relates to the Dalit children in Charala. We used to call the Dalit people the Untouchables. Children are the hope of the Indian church in many ways, but the Dalits are out of the education loop in India. St. Paul's Lutheran Public School in Charala, Andhra Pradesh, India, can use our help for Dalit education. The second potential project relates to you if you live north of I-10 and south of I-65 in Baldwin County. We at Zion believe that the Lord wants to establish a Lutheran fellowship in this area. If the Lord lays the needs of the Dalit children on your heart, or if you desire to be part of a Lutheran fellowship in North Baldwin, please call us at 945-5209.